There's that phrase, "Are you receiving me?" which classically is connected with space. It's the phrase that someone like Tim Peake on the International Space Station, he might be saying that in wanting to get in contact with NASA here down on Earth. NASA Control Center, are you receiving me? In other words, even though we're over 200 miles above the Earth, even though we are orbiting it at 17,500 miles per hour, can you receive me? Are we able to communicate with each other, even though we are so far apart, even though we are located in two different spheres? Are you receiving me? And I begin there this morning, in space as it were, because of where we are this morning here on earth, in our study here of John's Gospel. Last Lord's Day, we looked at how John in verse 9 there describes the Lord Jesus as the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And we said there that John is presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to us as the ultimate self-disclosure, the ultimate revelation of God to the whole world, to everyone, not just to Israel, but to everyone. God already shines his light of truth through creation. And we saw how creation, to a large extent, makes God known to us, his power, his wisdom, his creativity. You read Psalm 19 and you're moved to respond, "O Lord our God, how great thou art." We're compelled to do that. God also shines his glory to us. He reveals himself to us, of course, through the scriptures. The general revelation of God in creation is taken up and developed, and much more detail is added to it in this special revelation of scripture. So, for example, in the Bible, we discover the Creator's name. We discover the Creator's character. We discover that this Creator wants to save his creation. We discover the Savior the Creator is sending, has sent now into this world. This is a special revelation. Now, those two sources of light are true. They're real. They're genuine sources of light. In fact, as evangelicals, we would say that the scriptures are infallible. In other words, everything they tell us about God is absolutely true. We can take our Bibles and be confident that what they tell us about God is absolutely true. So it's not that Christ is the true light because these other lights are false. No. But the word true conveys to us the sense of an ultimate revelation. The Lord Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God. He makes God known to us in the fullest sense possible. And so, for example, at Christmas time, when we talk about God incarnate, we're talking about God becoming embodied in human flesh. We're talking about there in that stable at Bethlehem, God translating himself to us in a language that we as humans can understand best. We could say that Jesus really is the best translation the world has of who God is. And the only credible place in which we are introduced to Jesus is not in a church, not in a cave somewhere, not in a special place that you might go on pilgrimage to, but we find him in the scriptures. In Jesus Christ, as the ultimate revelation of God, God is communicating himself to this earth. In Jesus, God is calling earth and asking, "Are you receiving me? Am I getting through to you?" he is saying through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so the question for us this morning is, well, how was he then received by those he was sent to save? First of all, how did the world receive him? We're looking there primarily at verses 10 to 13. How did the world receive him. And it's really quite a sad picture. Verse 10, the true light was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. There are themes that John brings up now and again in his gospel. The world is one of those key themes. Apparently, in the 125 occurrences of the world in the New Testament, 84% of them are taken up by John. John, the apostle here. John, you remember, who passionately wants us to believe that this historical character called Jesus of Nazareth is indeed the Christ. John appears to be really interested in the relationship between God incarnate and the world. He wants us to get it, that God is concerned about the world. And if you think about that, that settles an awful lot of the arguments or the complaints you hear from unbelievers. The common complaint or protest probably concerns God's indifference to human tragedy, God's apparent apathy to the pain, the suffering that people experience in life. Does God really care if God exists? Does God really care about our suffering? If God really exists, is he at all interested when things go wrong? Does God really care, for example, about Syria, when this is the fifth year now that that war has been going on? Does he really care? Does God really care about Ebola, Zika, and AIDS, and cancer, these dreadful things like dementia, like Parkinson's disease? Does God care? Does God realize what's going on in my life? Does he care? Does he really care about me? In a sense, you get a biblical illustration of that with the disciples when they're on the Sea of Galilee. There's that awful storm. In fact, the storm is so bad, they're pretty convinced they're going to drown. And so you read in the story of what they say to Jesus when they waken him. Mark 4, verse 38. The disciples say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care, Jesus, if we drown? Don't you care if we die from what's happening to us?" And every time I read that, I always think to myself, didn't those disciples realize why Christ was there at all? He was there because he does care. God does care. He does care about your suffering. He does care about the fact that we die. He does care about all your troubles and all your concerns. That's why the scriptures are such a comfort to us. You read, for example, in Psalm 107, that wonderful psalm where people who were in some sort of peril, they cried out to God, and God heard them and delivered them out of all their troubles. God does care about our world. He does care about your life. He especially cares about our spiritual condition. He does care about how our sin separates us from him. In fact, if you would allow me just to tweak God's word a little, if you'd allow me just to take John 3:16 a little and just to stress this point, that it's because God so cares for this world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How do I know that God cares? Jesus. Not that I've got over my illness or these other things in my life. That doesn't prove actually that God cares. Jesus proves that God cares. The fact that God sent his Son, the fact that the creator of this world became its savior, that proves to me day by day, my God, who at times seems distant, he does still care. He does still love me. God couldn't care any more about the world than he already does. The problem is that the world doesn't care about God. The true light was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Every time I go back to Ireland to visit family, we usually do the same things every time. We usually tend to visit the same sites. We have a drive into town, we have a walk around town, and go to the same shops we go to every year. It's part of our sort of Irish pilgrimage.